Well, this morning we talked with Louise Jones of Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont, for our book list of the week, and she's traveled around the literary globe to collect these wonderful tomes, and after spending lots of time reading dozens of books and studying up, Louise joins us this Tuesday morning with a terrific list of books to share. A little fiction, a little nonfiction mix. It's great. Louise, always wonderful to see you. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Where would you like to begin?
Well, I would like to begin with Hilary Mantel's Bring Up the Bodies, which is came out about 2 months ago. Yeah. It is her sequel to Wolf Hall, which won the Booker Prize. She is writing a trilogy about Henry VIII, and but the books are told through the viewpoint of Thomas Cromwell, who was Henry VIII's sort of go-to man. And cleaned up after him, was his secretary and a very, very trusted confidant. And Mantel writes beautifully. She really creates characters that, although you may have read them in history books, they come alive in her books. In the first book was really about Henry's trying to get rid of Catherine of Aragon and marry Anne Boleyn. It is now about a year later. He has married Jane Seymour, and he's trying to get rid of her.
Yeah.
And this book is as good as Wolf Hall was. It is beautifully written. And I can't wait for the third book.
You know, in the fictionalization of Henry VIII's story always fascinates me because in reading Wolf Hall, which I loved, and I'm not, this one's on my nightstand, I haven't read it yet. What I find fascinating is you read it and your jaw drops and you think, well, this has to be the fictionalization, this can't be true.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look it up and say, oh, no, that is true. He
right.
really did do that. And then you read it and you sort of, this awful, horrible thing happens and you think, oh, my God, well, they had to have made that up. And then you look at him, no, that's what he did. It's fascinating stuff.
Well, Henry VIII was an extremely complex character. And if you, most Americans know about Henry VIII and they know about his daughter, Queen Elizabeth.
Right.
But if you really want to know where they came from, you must read Winter King, which is Henry VII and the Dawn of Tudor England. This came out about 3 months ago, and Henry VII was an extremely complex character. Most people don't really know much about him. He became king because he killed Richard III. He had very, very little qualifications to become king. His family background was extremely murky. He was a very, very greedy man, a very... I don't know how to describe him, vindictive, very
yeah.
manipulative.
Yeah.
And his aim, of course, was to set up a Tudor dynasty. So it was very, very important to have sons. And you see how this influenced Henry VIII. Henry VIII was actually Henry VII's second son. His older brother died when he was fairly young and was always considered to be the crown prince. And Henry was just kind of ignored by his father until the older brother died. And this tells you so much about the Tudors. And what's really interesting is by the time Henry VII died, he really had in his mind an imperial kingship. In which the king was the head of the state and, believe it or not, the head of the church. So you know where Henry VIII got his ideas from.
It's fascinating stuff. The name of the book is Winter King by Thomas Penn, and the novel by Hilary Mantel is Bring Up the Bodies.
Now I want to jump to a wonderful new novel by, it's a first novel by a woman named Suzanne Joynson, J-O-I-N-S-O-N, and it's called A Lady Cyclist's Guide to Kashgar. It's set at two different times in history. It begins in 1923 with two young English women going to Western China as missionaries. One of them brings her bicycle along and has secretly, unknown to her sister, made a deal with a publishing company to write a book about bicycle riding in Kashgar. They have some very horrifying experiences there. And then the book jumps to the present, jumps 80 years, and you learn about a woman who is, she is a a research specialist in the Middle East, and she becomes involved with a man who is in England illegally. And as you're reading the beginning of this book, you're wondering what in the world is going on here. But there is a very, very close connection between the two sisters in 1923 and this woman in the present. And as you read the book, the coincidences in their lives come together, and it's it really shows the intellectual and emotional differences and the cultural and physical landscapes that divide people but also bring them together. It's a beautifully written book, and I really recommend it.
And it is Lady Cyclist's Guide to Kashgar.
And then we have a book that just came out recently called Midnight in Peking, which several of us in the bookstore read ahead of time and really loved. It's set in 1937. It is a nonfiction book. A lot of research went into this. It's about in 1937, the Japanese were poised to invade China. They had actually invaded northern China already. And Peking was very nervous. There was a very large British colony, and a young woman, the daughter of one of the people who was involved in the government, was murdered, and murdered outside the area where the British lived. And it was a horrifying experience, and the head of the police detective in Peking, and a former Scotland Yard detective who was living in China got together to investigate. But there were so many rules set by both the Chinese and the British that they never got very far in discovering who killed this woman. Mm. After they were taken off the case, the woman's father hired people to look into it, and he stayed for about a year or so, and then he had to leave China, brought all of his material back with him. And then years and years later, the author of this book, Paul French, discovered his files, looked through them, and actually has solved the mystery. He says the father actually solved the mystery, but was never able to pull any of the material together and give it to any authorities. And it gives a wonderful feel for China at that time, threatened by Japan, the beginning of the Second World War in the Far East, the English who were living there, it's a wonderful read. It reads like a novel.
It's Midnight in Peking by Paul French.
Now, here is a brand new book. This just came out, and I just love this. It's called Fooling Houdini by Alex Stone. And Alex Stone is a professional magician. He's also a physicist and a writer and an editor. And he starts out with his experience at a magician's conference where he fails dreadfully and is almost kicked out of the place. And then he goes back and tells you about his interest as a kid in magic tricks. But the book continues into a really interesting examination of it. It's almost like an underworld of magicians.
Mm-hmm.
People who perform magic either professionally or very, very avid amateur professionals, magicians. And it's great fun to read. But he also goes into the connection between what we call magic and neuroscience, memory, a lot of experiments that are being done with our brain,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a wonderful combination of magic and science. It's a magical book, and I really recommend it.
That sounds fascinating. It's called Fooling Houdini. It is by Alex Stone, and published by Harper. Magicians, mentalists, math geeks, and the hidden powers of the mind. I love that stuff. We probably have time for one more.
One more. Okay. Yes. I'm going to talk about an author who has been writing for many years. He's written about 25 books, both for adults and children. And I just started reading him. His name is Philip Kerr. And he's written a series of thrillers. And thrillers is really an unfortunate term, but it's a general term that people can grab onto. He's a historical novelist, and his main character is first a policeman and then a private detective in Berlin during the time of the Nazis, but then afterwards also. And so his books are set anywhere from the early 1930s to after the Second World War, during and after. And his newest book is called Prague Fatale, in which he is ordered by Reinhard Heinrich, who was known as Hitler's executioner, to go with him to Hungary. And at this point, Bernie has left the police force. He's been in the army. He's been on the Western Front. He's back in Berlin, and he's taken by the Germans to Hungary. And it deals with the German occupation of Hungary. He's a wonderful writer. He really creates marvelous characters who are, as you said about Henry VIII,
yeah.
It's really true.
Right.
And he weaves in his plots into the historical facts of the time, and I really recommend him as a wonderful writer.
It's a Bernie Gunther novel by Philip Kerr, Prague Fatale by Philip Kerr. Just one of the great books that Louise has mentioned. For more information on the Northshire Bookstore in Manchester, you can go to their website, which is northshire.com. Bookseller extraordinaire Louise Jones, I thank you very much for sharing your picks with us. And again, you can find the full list on our website as well at wamc.org. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Can't wait to get over to the store there and have a good marathon browsing session.
Right.
Excellent. Great. Louise, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Garrison Keillor and the Writer's Almanac next. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.